You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Good morning. Good morning. This is the front line. All of it.
Amen.
We are here today. We have a great interviews for you today, and wonderful folks are going to share some really godly stuff. I want you to be there. Get your coffee. Pour your coffee, or maybe you already have it. You sit next to your radio. Maybe get a little snack, you know, maybe one of those Dunkin' Donuts, the breakfast sausages that are so, sandwiches that are so good. Anyway, I'm Dave Francoeur. I'm very happy to be co-host with my two others, who I'm going to mention their names and maybe give them a chance to speak. I have to start with my wonderful and venerable co-host, Ed
just
Spiegel.
Means I'm old.
Well, no, it means more than that. I've already explained, Ed, that, you know, I really appreciate the years you've lived on planet Earth and the things you bring.
I'm so old as a knot in my front line.
I don't even get it, but that's okay. I'm looking at the two ladies. I don't know.
Yeah, there's, well, explain that, Ed, for the people that didn't catch
it. Okay. What a beautiful South Florida morning.
Hey, by the way, this may not be, you may not laugh at this, but I came up with this the other day. It's a dad joke. And it says, where in the Bible are podcasts mentioned?
Podcasts.
Sorry, time's up. In Luke 15, story of the prodigal son, when that man ran out of money, he got a job in a pig farm, and he had to cast pods into the troughs that the pigs ate.
First podcaster in the Bible.
Anyway, okay, there were groans
and laughs. I'm glad I have some other ladies with me in the studio today. It's usually just me.
You know, before we go further,
yeah,
all you moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Amen. Happy
None
Mother's
of us
Day.
None would be here without you.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
For sure right.
And I would love to see a resurrection, if you will, of the appreciation for mothers.
Amen.
And, dads, too. There's been a wholesale decline in our culture when it comes to appreciating the role of parents.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's even a commandment. I think it's the fifth commandment. You know, honor your father and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a good reason for that, because you live long in the land.
Yes.
So it's not just for them, it's for you. But
yes.
I was watching an interview on TV of a young man that was representing the ecologists, mm-hmm. was being questioned by a very venerable senator.
Yeah,
and the total disrespect that young man showed for that senator, it was just appalling.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as respect anymore.
Yeah,
sure.
It's really a situation. Thank God we've got moms like this that are teaching their children respect and discipline.
Yeah. Amen, amen. And we're going to be getting to that in a minute. In fact, after I've introduced my other co-host, Ann Lomoko,
then
we go to that. Good morning.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be in the studio today with lovely people who love the Lord.
Amen.
And I always want to say, because every time we wake up is breath that has been given to us by God.
Amen.
So today is the day the Lord has made. What will we do with it? Rejoice.
Rejoice and be, glad in it.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. And we must do that.
We have to rejoice for everything he's given us. Yep. So.
And I rejoice, you know, that I always say this again and again, but it's really true, that the two of you co-hosts have been a great blessing to me.
And you blessed us too, David.
Well, it works all the way around like that, you know, because God has brought us together. It's a great family.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
In all of our live programs, but particularly here today with this frontline ministry and the word we're getting out. But you two have been really helpful to
Praise
me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You and I have been on this since day one.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's over, how old is this show? 2 years old or something?
More than two. I have to go back to the records to see when we started. Sometime in 2023, I think.
Last week we had a visit from our very first guest.
I remember.
Yeah. He reprised his role. But anyway, Ann, would you be kind enough to introduce to us our two guests today and who they represent?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know what? When we planned this date, a couple of months ago, right? Mm-hmm. I did not realize it was going to be the day after Mother's Day. You know what I mean?
It was a God thing.
Which is
appropriate. It was a God thing.
The two wonderful, godly, amazing women that we have with us today is Crystal Kelly and then also Cynthia Bartlett. And they, Bartlett, they are representing a wonderful national rights parental organization called Moms for Liberty. And the reason why they're here is because Crystal Kelly, she is the chapter chair, right, of the St. Lucie County chapter. And then I know that, Cynthia, you've been involved with Moms for Liberty for a long time. I think back in Hawaii from 2021 to 2024. Wow. Is that correct?
Yes. I was at a conference when one of the founding women were attending, and she kept saying, I have this new group, and we need to open in your state of Hawaii. And I went, what? And she asked me three times, and I went, third time was in the elevator, and I couldn't get away from her. And I was the chair of Hawaii for the last 4 years, really. We had quite the fight in Hawaii. We'll go into that later.
Yeah, we'll go into that later. But we are grateful because I believe the Lord has, you guys are both not originally from Florida. The Lord has sent you here for such a time as this. This Moms for Liberty organization, which started during the heart of COVID, is huge because it has exposed what has been happening in our public schools. And I know I have a little insight into that because the Lord has me as a subteacher at a current county, St. Lucie County, where I see things in the public schools. But I just want to thank you for what you both are doing as wonderful moms and standing up for the rights of children. Thank you very, very, very much for being here. So I want to start with you, Crystal, and then Cynthia. First, tell us, we always ask our guests, how did you come to meet the Lord? We want to hear your God story, as David says. What's your God story? How did you come to salvation to the Lord?
My God story is actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
I grew up in a small town in Louisiana, and I had attended a Christmas program with my family, and I kept talking about the bird. This bird was amazing in this Christmas play. And my grandmother is quoted on video saying, if that doesn't tell you to take that little darling to church, I don't know what will. And it was the angel.
Oh,
so I figured that.
I started Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And, you know, learned about all the heroes in the Bible and was fascinated. But I didn't really come to know that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me until 2016. So 10 years ago.
Really?
Actually in April. So just hit my 10-year mark.
Praise God.
And that really changed everything for me because I went from, you know, understanding God is mad at me as a kid to, no, I'm totally forgiven. And there's nothing about me that, you know, that he won't change himself.
Change
comes from him, but I'm perfectly accepted. And that really changed everything for me and how I live my life and raise my children. And
beautiful. I didn't know that, so thank you for sharing that. We go to the same church and, you know, we have quick conversations, but I'm so glad to know more of you today. Cynthia, why don't you tell us how you came to know the Lord?
Like many kids today that are growing up without religion in their family, I grew up without my mother or father or anyone going to church. It was in New York City. And, you know, modern civilization families, they just cut church out of their world, a lot of them.
They do.
And so one day, I think I was around 6 years old, my grandmother came to visit us. And she just told me all about God and Jesus and everything. And I just automatically believed everything. And I was an immediate believer. And it just happened. It was like, yeah, that's true.
Amen. So you were following the Lord all throughout?
Like, yes.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
So you guys are both here representing Moms for Liberty, okay? So I don't know who wants to take this question, but first tell us, what is Moms for Liberty? There may be people listening who've never heard of that national organization, okay? So tell us what Moms for Liberty is, what it does, and then we'll talk later about why you started a local chapter in St. Lucie County.
Well, Moms for Liberty started during COVID when we started seeing the inside of this whole COVID thing and how the schools were really taking control over the parents' rights, where they were deciding the curriculum. They were bringing things in like the pronouns and the trans things, and they didn't give. What one of our slogans is, we don't co-parent with the government. And so so the two founders realized that parental rights were in danger. because we saw the inside of the schools, and not only the schools, but the teachers' unions. And what? And I actually listened to a very secret phone call. I could tell you later what their inside message, and their inside message was don't talk to the parents, mm-hmm. come talk wow. to us. And the, even the school counselors have become had become radicalized. And, you know, if your little kid went in with the school counselor and then they weren't allowed to tell their parents what they discussed, that's pretty scary. So the foundational reason was protecting parental rights.
A lot of this came out because now a lot of kids were doing school through screens during COVID. So is that when that all was exposed? About what was being taught to the kids. And I would love to hear what that person said that you talked about, Cynthia, about that's the school board and school counselors. But go ahead.
I think it was just, you know, a lack of knowledge. You send your kids to school and you assume that they're being taught math and writing. And COVID was really an opportunity. Everyone was home and your children were learning on screens. And so you got to pay attention. You got to see what are they actually learning.
Yeah.
So I think it was a win for parents and not so much a win for the Department of Education. Is now, you know, once you have awareness, then people start getting involved.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. So you have two boys?
I do.
Right. Two boys. Well, you said you had a third boy, but we won't talk about that. And your greatest purpose, you said, is motherhood.
Yes.
And Cynthia, you as well, I know. But talk about that, being a mom, the both of you. Being a mom.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're searching for your purpose in life. And I knew as soon as I had my first son, this is my purpose.
Amen.
This is my purpose. And it is until God gives me another one, you know.
And he's entrusted these children to you to raise.
That's right.
It's like the Lord obviously, you know, gave you these children, but you're raising them. But they belong to him
children.
First.
I have been honored to steward them.
Yes.
And I believe that we'll have an account for how we do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Cynthia?
Absolutely.
Well, my child, I'm a grandma now.
I was going to ask,
And my child is a forever child. She's a profound autistic with Down syndrome. Mm.
Oh,
so I always have the joy of childhood in my house.
Okay. Yeah.
And I take it on the happy side.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm not so much involved in the curriculum anymore, but we helped expose what the books were in the school libraries. And they were really, really scary. And not only the school libraries, many schools use public libraries. And the Public Library Association in America has also been radicalized.
Yeah.
So if you take a walk through there, you'll see all kinds of things. It's getting better in Florida. But if you're in a blue state, it's quite dangerous. I know my friend in Hawaii said her 9-year-old daughter was walking through the lobby of the library, and there was no normal book at all. It was all about how boys can be girls and girls can be boys and worse than that. So it's good that we understand that this was a movement that was radical. And we saw that during COVID. We really had a chance to see it. And Moms for Liberty worked really hard on curriculum, exposing the books. People didn't believe us in the beginning. They didn't believe that these books were in school. But you know what? Yeah. What shows is the proficiency rate of reading and math has gone down. For instance, in Chicago, they did the original pilot program for DEI.
Diversity and inclusion.
So after 10 years, their proficiency rate went from like 72 down to like 28.
Wow! Gosh.
So DEI does not work because DEI is not merit based, and life is merit based. And if you don't bring up your children like that, they're going to fail.
Yes.
Yeah.
When colleges have to have a remedial reading program for their people that are for their freshmen, we know we've got a problem in education.
Mm-hmm.
People coming out of high school can't read, and they've got to teach them how to read so they can take college courses. It's ridiculous.
And what I see a lot is children are being just promoted into the next grade.
Exactly. That's my point.
But they're not ready.
Exactly.
So there's that brings us back to there's a lot happening in the schools that we don't know about. Can you talk specifically about books in St. Lucie County?
Yes, I can. I think it's also interesting to note, though, that I don't think Cynthia or I have kids that are in the public school system or have ever been. So it's
and there's a reason for that.
That we have taken this charge. But, yeah, so books specifically, I attended a Turning Point event. I think it was about June of 2025. Trump had just been they had just attempted to assassinate him in Butler, and he showed up still with the bandage on his ear. But during that conference...
Where was that at? Palm Beach?
West Palm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
During that conference, I learned about books being in the school and, you know, that pastors and parents had actually been arrested for attending school board meetings and pointing this out. And I was just thinking, like, wow, that sounds so far-fetched, you know? And no, it turns out that it's rampant. And specifically sexually explicit books. So stuff that when parents were reading this at school board meetings, the media was turning off their microphones because it was too explicit to read to an adult audience.
Wow.
But yet these are in our schools. So St. Lucie County, we have started to submit these books. We've run into some wins and we've run into some challenges, but they are in there. And if they're in our district, you know, they're probably in every district.
When you say submit books, so you find books and then you submit them to the county, the school board for removal? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So the process is we identified 135 titles. So that's titles.
But wow.
Each school may have several copies. I submitted all 135 to the school district right away under statute 847. These are, you know, sexually explicit. They don't belong in our school curriculum, especially taxpayer curriculum.
Wow.
Immediately I was met with, hey, there's been a new law in Florida. If you don't have children in the public school system, you're only allowed to submit one title every 30 days. So that slowed the process. But then they have to go through a full review process. So there's a committee that has been established by the Florida Department of Education in each district to review this material and see if, you know, their opinion is if it's actually too explicit for school children. And so far, we've submitted almost 130 titles. We've gotten an answer on 5. 3 have been removed. 2 have been restricted to 9th grade through 12th grade in St. Lucie County.
Wow.
Okay.
It makes me wonder, why are there not mothers, grandmothers, you need to get involved in this chapter, who have kids in this public schools, right?
It's awareness.
Yes. And how big is the chapter?
Well, it's just starting now.
Yes.
So I don't know how many members we have. So we're looking for more members.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's make a call out. Make a call out.
Many hands make light work. So we opened in January officially. And I would say we probably have 20 members at this point, but we have several other willing participants who have helped specifically with the books through FL&J.
Good.
And that's your department, Ann. But
for Liberty and Justice. Yes.
Collaborating with other groups. And, you know, I have found that most people who are willing to go in and submit a book don't actually have kids in the school district. It's grandparents. It's, you know, folks whose kids have graduated a long time ago.
Yeah, because I came across a book, and I was telling you about this. I'm a sub teacher, right? Which the Lord totally put for me to do. That was not on my radar. Everybody in here knows, like, I was not looking to do that. And I'm sitting in a classroom of kindergartners last week. Kindergartners. How old are they? Like
5.
5, 6 years old?
5, 6.
They're babies.
And then the teacher is reading a book about boys. It's okay for you to do girl things. And girls, it's okay for you to do boy things. It's okay for you to dress if you want to, like a boy for a girl for a boy. And I'm like, kindergartners at 5 years old. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I know why you have me in here. And, you know, that's probably like just touching the surface of what you guys know, right?
That's mild. If that was our biggest problem, then.
Yeah, but these poor kids. And what I see a lot in the schools is kids are not allowed to really be kids. Like, the behavior issues that you encounter, like they seem like they're doing a lot more than teaching. Is for me, what I've witnessed is a lot of just, okay, stay in this box, be quiet, Indian style. Like, you have to allow kids to be kids too. You know what I mean? Can you speak into that?
Some of our problems come from the teacher training colleges.
Really?
And what they've trained, the teacher training colleges are heavily Marxist. And very anti-American. And this comes filtered through to our teachers. And in some cases, the teachers' unions are saying your number one job as a teacher is to be a political activist, to teach the kids political activism. And that's where we stand today. That's why we hear all that people, you know, teachers taking their kids out of school and doing protests. It didn't come out of the blue sky. Mm. It came out of what the teachers themselves start out as good people, mm-hmm. and they want to be teachers, yeah. but they go through this heavy curriculum and teacher training colleges that they have to be one way. It's very cultish and it's very Marxist and it's very anti-American. In fact, if you do a survey of kids leaving high school, They're very pro-socialism. We see it now with the elections. Yeah. Yep. That didn't come from the parents. That came from what the they're teachers. Learning in school. And yeah. what the teachers, and like we were discussing right before the show, the idea of empathy has been hijacked. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Gad Saad called Suicidal Empathy. Mm-hmm. And then you were saying that Allie...
Beth Stuckey
has a book on empathy as well. And people think, well, if they teach young children about boys and girls and all this stuff, that they're being a good person. And everything has gone wrong. That's just not the way a civilization succeeds.
Yeah, what you described is not just indoctrination. It's brainwashing.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing to the teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. The parents, like you said, Crystal, they're just... okay, they trust that what's being taught in the schools is safe and whatnot, but parents have to be involved. And I think this is obviously an agenda of the enemy to get to our next generation. Mm-hmm. That's the enemy is going after our kids, grandkids, right? That's and right. Parents need to be involved. And the government is parenting? No way. Mm. That's not what the Lord called us to do, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So talk more into that. This is a spiritual problem. Either of you can speak into that.
Yeah.
How the enemy is going after our kids.
Absolutely.
It really is. And when you see the in the cities, the gangs and how the teenagers are think it's fun to steal things and create crimes, that this lack of persecuting the crimes is part of this suicidal empathy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it does our society no good. And if we bring up our children to be aligned with this, we've lost America.
Yep.
It takes one generation. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I would say in Florida, too, you know, we have a great situation in Florida where we get to choose where we want to send our kids.
Yeah, with school choice, right?
And, you know, the teachers union is fighting back against that right now. There's a huge lawsuit that they have filed against the Florida Department of Education saying that because school taxpayer funds follow the student, that by allowing those to be used for charter schools and private schools or wherever the parents deem is the right choice for their children, that is somehow unfair because the charter schools and the private schools may not have the 1400 laws that the public schools have to mm-hmm. abide by.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand the challenges, but I think that the best thing for children is for their parents to be able to decide, you know, what suits their children on an individual need.
Yes.
And that's where parents are, you know, at least beginning to make their voices heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. This is the job for all parents.
Absolutely.
If your children are being taught in school that they don't need merit, that they can be a victim, for example, when a child thinks of that being a victim is a good thing, this is dangerous for our society. Mm. And all the parents, no matter what their political point is, need to be involved in this to give the children a head start, to give them a clean education and not let them fail thinking that they don't need to have merit in their life at all.
That's sad. It's like, okay, that when you participate in sports when I was a kid, it's first, second, and third place, but now everybody gets a trophy, which mm-hmm. I understand, but then it's like losing the competitive thing. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Crystal, you said your kids are not in the public schools. Where do you send your kids?
My kids go to a private Christian school.
Okay.
They've been there since they literally were babies, 3 years old.
Good. So Christian education.
Yeah. Until I could not anymore. And then, you know, that I've chosen to keep them there. They can stay there until they graduate.
Yeah.
are exceeding as far as, you know, testing goes and where they measure up. They're super bright kiddos.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great option.
That is a great option, Christian schools. We have to talk about Christian schools. We have a lot of in the area.
To point out the difference with the books, you know, we've been submitting these books to the school district of St. Lucie County since January, and they're still dragging in. We've gotten 5 answers on 130 books.
Wow.
In contrast, I sent my list directly to the principal, and by the end of business day, she confirmed that there were no titles by those, you know, in our
school.
In
the Christian
school,
you sent the list.
And they had been blacklisted. So when they had received a large supply of donated books, they invited me to come in. I was able to physically look at the books, do my research on them. And if any more donated books come in, I have the opportunity. I can ask any time. But by the close of business day, the school day, I was assured that none of those titles were or would be in the, you know,
good
vicinity of my children's hands.
Look at how fast. I want to say that a lot of people misinterpret this and on the other side and pretend like we're trying to ban books.
Yeah.
And we're not. We're trying to make things age appropriate. But the other side actually has banned books. They took out Shakespeare. Shakespeare's not in the schools.
Yeah. You're right.
They call it old white men, whatever.
Yeah.
They,
oh, boy.
They've taken a lot of the books that you and I grew up on and made them boogeyman books. They're the ones that are banning the books. And we're just pointing out these morally corrupt books, and they shouldn't be read to kindergartners. Even preschools have this thing called the gender man. And it looks like the gingerbread man. And they go over and tell them that you could choose your gender. And, you know, these are the things going on behind the parents' backs.
It's demonic.
Yeah,
and
it
you think
demonic.
About children are at school exactly for, what 34 hours? Mm. And if parents are both working and they don't spend quality time with their kids on the weekend and have family dinners together, who's going to influence the child more, the 34 hours at school or the 1 hour you spend on Saturday with them?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest situations I see in our society is the parents and grandparents not giving the children enough influence. They're so busy. There's so many distractions in this world today.
Yes.
And it's not just for the kids, even Christians. There's so many distractions out there that we forget the point of why we're Christians.
Amen.
And we forget to center our lives in Christ, but we're so worried about, well, let's be part of this and let's be part. How do I look to my neighbors if I go to church all the time? Maybe I better not wear that cross because it offends some people. My gosh. And it's the whole society's gone that way. You know, the scripture says we don't battle against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You were right. Yeah. You said it's demonic.
It is. Listen, we're about to take a break. And before we do, listeners, we have 14 counties we broadcast into. So listeners are, as they're thinking of you all from St. Lucie County, some are wondering, are there any Moms for Liberty chapters in other Florida counties? And there's a way to find out, and that's the website, momsforliberty.org, I think it is.
You're right.
And if you want to go on that, there's a pull-down menu there on the home page. You can find all across the nation. There are several chapters, praise God. But if you're in Florida and you're here and getting excited, maybe I want to be a part of this, and I hope you are, you can go to that momsforliberty.org, the website. Look for, there's a national map. Click on Florida. You can see which counties have chapters there, and it will list contact people and phone numbers. Critical. Listen, let's take a break, and then we'll be back with more really cool stuff. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. World is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. We're back from the break, and in a moment I'm going to ask Cynthia to share something with us that we talked over the break. But first, you may want to call. You may want to call with a comment or a question, and the number to do that is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and someone will answer the phone. It might be me, in which case let it ring. Don't hang up because I got to run out from the studio. Cynthia, anyway, talk about what you brought up during the break.
Well, a lot of us go to don't realize that you can actually attend the school board meetings.
Yes.
You don't even have to have a child in the school. You can attend. And it's a wonderful – what school is supposed to be is a union between teachers, parents, and children to benefit the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not supposed to be we're fighting each other at all. But I attended a lot of the school board meetings in Hawaii. And the Southern Poverty Law Center put me on their domestic terrorism list because I was speaking up too much. That was during the Biden administration. And then they put the whole Moms for Liberty group as a domestic terrorism. Think about that. Mothers who are just trying to make schools safer and better and bringing merit back. How did the Biden administration think that was a domestic terrorism?
Well, they weaponized the DOJ against a lot of conservative groups.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I think that means egregious. You were effective.
Yes. Yeah. You were making a headway. Mm-hmm. You were.
I think I want to point out that we live in Florida, right? And I came from Illinois. Okay, definitely.
What a contrast.
Very oh, boy.
Blue state. So I just want to give kudos to Florida because we are freer than a lot of other states. And I also want to say the teachers in Florida, not all of them, like we said during the break, are not indoctrinating, but they're trying to just get by. Mm-hmm. I see that a lot in the schools. They're just wanting to get kids off the phone. They want to make sure they're behaved. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to make a blanket statement that all teachers are doing this. But we see where it's being done. And that's why we have to stand up for our children.
Yeah.
Right? In Florida.
Yes.
We are blessed.
There was a map recently about the funding for the district public schools.
Yes.
And where, you know, the number of students and the number of teachers, they had an increase. They were way down here. What had a substantial increase, almost a 500% increase, was all of the other school employees. So you're talking about counselors, you're talking about paraprofessionals, you're talking about, because, you know, in our public school system, they can't turn anyone away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenges that they're having to deal with and teachers are having to deal with on a day-to-day basis, sometimes it's just to keep kids, you know, safe and to keep them off their phones and to keep them from fighting or who knows, you know, Anne.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs support.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah, they do.
Amen.
You're doing a lot. I would say the system is sick.
And it's so, not meant to handle really, that many kids, too, right? Would you say?
I'm sorry, what?
They're overwhelmed. It's not meant to handle.
Oh, it is. It's overwhelming.
I mean, I look at these teachers. It's the end of the school year, and they're just trying to get through the end of the school year. You know? I have
my
sympathy
wife,
for them, but yeah.
10 years ago, maybe a little more. She can correct me when I get home because she's listening today. But she, her family, all of the women in her family were teachers, right?
Okay.
And so she did other things. But she was kind of a late teaching vocation. She went IRSC, got her certification, got in the St. Lucie County Schools. And I think she was 3 years total, maybe a little less than that. But she found it was very distressing. She really, teaching was secondary to being a policeman in the classroom, managing disputes among children. And she was the elementary school. She taught fifth, and then her last engagement was first grade. And she was in a particular school in Fort Pierce that some rough kids from rough neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And so, but she observed, you know, didn't get to do much teaching, but I had to do a lot of discipline. And her struggles were trying to keep the balance in the classroom and upsetting everybody.
Yeah.
Administration didn't like the fact she was sending kids for discipline. We're not supposed to be talking about that, you know. Don't offend the parents or whatever.
Mm.
So there's very little education happened, at least I'm speaking now from what she shared with me
yeah.
in that realm. And then she departed the profession, you know, and kind of just said, sorry about that. But
yeah, because as a sub-teacher, you could see where the kids are not coming from a good home life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want you to speak about how the parents really need to be involved. And I know that there's a lot of parents whose both parents work, but to be involved in teaching their kids at home so it reflects in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. Because what's coming at, I mean, you talked about postmodernism and relativism. Talk about mm-hmm. that as well. Because
we have to remember that as the teachers face these battles in the classroom, they're also being given by the teachers' unions certain teachings on how to, remember during COVID, they mm-hmm. did the pronouns, and mm-hmm. this is where it all started, where they didn't come up with these ideas by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was handed down to them. Mm-hmm. And they have these renewals that they have to take and certifications. And it's called nudging in psychology. Wow. You nudge mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And they're all nudged towards this capitalism, anti-American feeling. And that's in their curriculum. For example, like
wow.
in math, I'll give you an example of how this is inserted into the curriculum. So you might do a math question essay, and you might say, okay, we're going to Disneyland. It's 50 miles away, and we've driven 30. And that sounds like you're going to do a real math question. And then this is an instruction that the teacher gets. And then and then you're told, raise your hand if you've never been to Disneyland.
Mm.
And then the next question is, tell us, raise your hand if you think that's unfair. Raise your hand.
Oh, boy. Look at how discreet that is.
They slip the cultural into the math program, into the English program, mm-hmm. into every single course. So the teachers are just obeying the curriculum they have.
Wow.
And the students are being nudged mm-hmm. in these directions.
Yeah. Part of that victim mentality that they want everybody to have. Because victims, if you have a victim mentality, you're going to succumb to the teaching of the culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're supposed to be a victim. So I'm going to learn everything I can about being a victim.
Yeah.
But the subtlety of that reminds me of the story of cooking frogs. Just a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You
know?
They won't jump out of the pot. Right.
And yeah.
You know, I'm sorry to be always talking about myself, but it's just experiences that the Lord has given me. But when I talk to the kids and I'm like, we live in the greatest country on earth.
Mm.
We do, right?
Yes.
In America.
Still,
it's approaching our 250th anniversary, woo-hoo, birthday. The kids look at me and they're like, no, we don't. Like, it's indoctrinated that
exactly.
we don't live in the
exactly.
greatest country. So I'm like, what? I'm like, do you not? And I try to speak to them in just telling them the truth. Because there's no, talk about absolute truth. Because
we started around the 1940s a postmodernism in Europe mm-hmm. and in America, and the heart of postmodernism is cultural relativism
right.
and the fact that there's no objective truth. So all the way up to college and get a PhD, all of our new students, and in law, even in law, there's no reasonable man anymore. So they believe that that they should teach there's no objective truth. Well, how can you believe in good morals or ethics or even God if there's no objective truth? So that's burnt into the curriculum.
Right.
So it's not the teacher's fault necessarily, but it's a whole system that has been taken over by postmodernism, Marxism, and anti-Americanism, really.
Well, yeah.
And the teachers have a hard time because they're trying to make a living. And even though the curriculum may go against their moral beliefs, they have to use it. You know, it's just a terrible position to put people in.
Are they forced to use it, whatever is given by national to
yes.
Florida?
Yes.
They don't have any discretion in how they apply.
I think Florida is probably best. It's been cleared out quite a bit. But I'm talking nationally.
Yeah.
This is happening mm-hmm. everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, even if a Florida child, like your two boys that are going to a Christian school, but who are they? Who's going to be their peers when they grow up? Mm-hmm. It's going to be all these kids that were indoctrinated in the public schools in Illinois and California and everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the world that they're going to have to
yeah.
navigate.
That's exactly why I got involved.
Right.
It doesn't mm-hmm. particularly at least, affect my children, but their peers, their bosses, yeah. their
at least they're getting a solid foundation to stand on, though.
Yes, yeah. sir. And I think that's the biggest thing that is missing. You know, we talked about truth, but truth has a name. It's Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
We've taken that out of our school systems.
Yes.
We've taken it out of our court systems and day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And if you don't stand for something and know the truth, then you'll fall for everything.
Anything. That's right.
Amen.
And we touched on, you know, the pronouns and things. And
yeah,
it's one thing to, you know, think that you're in the wrong gender. It's another thing to force me and my children to participate
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's where the indoctrination is happening. It's alarming.
Yeah. Yep, wow. Absolutely.
Where does it stop?
The enemy is...
We have girls, you know, having to have boys in their bathroom. Well, what? Are we going to have litter boxes in our public schools if we start identifying as cats? Like,
yeah.
where does it stop?
Yeah. I know.
It's going to stop when Jesus comes back.
That's right.
That's when it's going to stop.
So you asked about parents getting involved. If the parents just think, well, these are just schools, like my mother went to school, my grandmother went to school, it's just school, it's fine, I can just do my job and see them at night and see them in between their activities on the weekend. But if they don't give them a foundation of truth, then mm-hmm. these children are growing up with believing that there is no objective truth. Yeah. And it's very confusing for children.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They say, well, it's just school like it was when I was a kid. No, it's not like it was when you were a kid.
Boy.
And
very
that's
different.
What they refuse to accept, parents and grandparents. If they would understand that this is a totally different world than you came up in, then maybe they would have more influence on the moral values that their children have.
Well, think about the videos we saw. Was it about a month ago
mm-hmm.
where they showed all the videos of the kids protesting in all the schools?
With the ICE, against ICE, right? Is that what you're talking about, Cynthia?
Right. I think it was against ICE,
yeah,
but
probably.
They did it again on May against Trump, I think.
Mm.
And then, so
probably no kings.
No
this
kings,
didn't happen
yeah.
when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. So that's what I'm saying, that they're more politically active than they are educationally active.
This is an agenda of the enemy. Like when I was a kid, we would pray in the schools, okay, public schools,
mm-hmm.
the Pledge of Allegiance, which they do in St. Lucie County schools.
Right.
But it's so different because the enemy has gotten a hold of our education system, has gotten a hold of what the different spheres of influence. You talked about law. You talked about law. Business. That's why I applaud you guys for taking a stand and bringing awareness and fighting. We don't sit here and allow the enemy. So what can people do if they hear some of this, or how can they start a chapter? What can they do? Who do they contact? Can you talk about it, both of you, one of you?
Before you answer that, let me remind our listeners, you may have a question or a comment. You can call the station, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Go ahead.
Well, as you mentioned, Moms for Liberty, yes, go on there and see if there is a chapter already started in your county. If not, start one. It was a pretty easy process. That we also work collaboratively with For Liberty and Justice, and they've brought about like some of these committees, like we've been talking about with the books and the schools. It has to go through a committee. Change happens at a grassroots level.
And for liberty and justice, one of the fights I had back in Hawaii, and that's why I left and came to Florida, because it's more free. But I met with all the pastors individually in all our islands in Hawaii, and very few were willing to address these subjects because they didn't want to offend their congregation. Hawaii's a one-party state, Democratic, and they didn't want to bring anything up. And so when do we get the pastors to wake up and realize that it's okay to talk about
morals and to talk about these things in a more realistic, down-to-earth way.
I don't read in the Gospels.
It's infiltrated the church. Yeah. Sorry,
I don't
David.
Read in the Gospels where Jesus said, preach the gospel until it offends somebody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In fact, he told us we'd be offending people.
Well, I remember going into the one church, the biggest church in Hawaii, and I was welcomed by the pastor afterwards as a new person, as they do. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, and the Holy Spirit came over me.
Good.
And I said to him, see all these little cute little three-year-olds and four-year-olds running, you know, it was coffee tea hour afterwards. I said, they're not going to be safe. You need to awaken your congregation to these things. And he just bent down and looked at his shoes. And then it came over me. I said, you're like Jesus who never overturned the tables.
Mm.
Wow.
But that's true. That's very true.
There's a big difference. You know, man ordains, God anoints.
Yes.
And these pastors have been ordained by man.
Yes.
But I really question how many of them have been anointed to preach the truth.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And people will be like, oh, no, Ed, you're offending. But no, I agree.
It's true.
Because some people may have been not put there by the Lord.
Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to speak about these things.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that you guys are standing up for our children. How can people get involved? Go to the Moms for Liberty. What about, do you want to give your contact information out or no? You don't feel comfortable?
Is there
an email?
It's better to go to momsforliberty.org. Remember, it's .org, not .com. Mm-hmm. And there's an easy map, and you can just click on your county and see if it's already there. And you can hit the contact button if you're willing to learn more about starting your own chapter, which is really easy. You just get a few friends together, and you could start a chapter.
Mm-hmm. I think parents can get involved first by just going to the school board meetings.
Yes.
How often are those? And anybody can walk in, you said.
In St. Lucie County, they're the second Tuesday of every month.
Okay.
Right there.
What time
Brandywine,
are they at?
5:30.
Okay.
I think it's 5:30.
Yeah. That's where you can minimally
you
start.
You always have to go online and you see what the agenda is. And whatever you're saying has to relate to the agenda. Which is kind of fun because, I mean, you can take your first two sentences about the agenda and then veer off and you'll be fine. But
I think you've done this many times.
You can really see the big picture if you go to the school board meetings. And you can even run for school board yourself.
Yep. Absolutely.
We have two races, I believe, Crystal. Two races, August 18th. There's two school board seats.
Yes.
Right? Talk about that.
District 1 and District 5.
Yep.
So we have District 1 has been, Miss Holly has been in that position. And this year, Brian Kapp is going to be running against her. And then in District 5, we have Troy Ingersoll, who's been there. And this year, he has competition with Charles Cerami.
So people need to do their research on where each of those candidates and maybe those already in office stand.
It's a big year. It's an election year. We have a governor.
Yeah.
You know, so
who's a Republican nominee or, you know, like we need to do research.
Research your candidates. Get
and pray.
Involved. Yes. Pray.
We even educated Trump and his team because he came to several of our meetings for the Moms of Liberty when we had our yearly.
Oh, really?
And and that's how you do it. You have a grassroots organization, and you educate the politicians.
Amen.
And he also went to other parent groups like Moms for America, and he realized, he made a statement once that the moms are very important in the culture of America.
Mm. Amen.
I was looking at your website, and one of the things that you do is activate to public service, because you guys know more than many of our elected officials about education.
Amen.
So when I worked for a member of Congress, we'd rely on different groups who are the experts to give information. So, and I know that some people who've started get activated and they run for office, right? Like some moms who get, they activate, they run for school board, they run for office. We need to be entrenched in the culture. We talk about this all the time on this radio.
Absolutely.
If you have meetings like Christian pastor meetings, you can invite Moms for Liberty to come and speak.
Oh,
and we can help educate. That's what we did in Hawaii. We had Christian groups, and they invited me to be a speaker often. And people learn from each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you're right, Anne. Martin County has, you know, two former Moms for Liberty members on the school board. And
you're
then
right.
To our north in Indian River, we have a Moms for Liberty chair that is now running for council in District 2, and she's
great.
Fantastic.
Oh, great. Really? Yeah. See, look at how the Lord gets them activated. That's pure citizenship democracy.
And one thing is, we've all had a past, probably Crystal and I have both had a past where we were not political at all. Mm-hmm. We were not aware at all. And then we got shaken awake by God, the situation and life around us. So there's always people that have never been political before or never joined a group before that realize that they can be useful in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Being useful is the most wonderful thing we can do here on earth. Let's all get useful and let's help our children and help our country.
Yeah.
And we can't be useful if we just sit at home.
No,
you're absolutely right.
And nobody's going to come save us until Jesus returns.
Amen.
So nobody's coming to our rescue. So you have to
it's
get involved.
It's us. It's the church that gets involved.
Well, we're his hands and his feet.
That's right.
The Spirit of God is empowering the church. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, you know, hey, I'm going, but I'm sending the Spirit to come alongside of you.
Yeah. Amen.
And we come to realize when we study the Word, The Spirit of God is critical for the work of the church in every age,
absolutely.
You know, and that work doesn't change.
Absolutely.
You know, we're 2,000 years out from the resurrection and the sending of the Spirit, but the work of the church hasn't changed. God's plan for the church hasn't changed. What needs to change is the attitude of Christians today concerning what they're going to do for God in the world around them.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people yet in the church who are sitting there polishing pews, and they think that's the ultimate ministry. I'm pastor, so I can say that, right?
There you go.
And absolutely, yes, it's nice because it does save time for the people who are on staff cleaning things. But the truth is, in baptism, you were ordained. That was your first ordination.
Right.
My second one was after I got a seminary and was ordained. But your first ordination is baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, and by the way, your scriptural precedent is Jesus himself. His ministry on earth, we don't see it starting till after his baptism.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And his desert retreat, where he has to struggle with the devil and define for the devil his role. And he also defined our role, which is great. The devil was taught by Jesus about what his followers were going to do.
Yeah.
And so this is what we must be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, wake up. That's part of our job here at WCNO. Church, wake up.
Yes.
And hear what people are saying. Anyway, we got about 6 minutes before we have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So any last words, because we're going to have you back sometime
I
down the road.
I want to explain more about this misuse of empathy, because I think when we look at TV and we see all these protests on the street.
Yeah.
A lot of them are women and us women, we tend to be more emotional and kind and more subject to that layer versus logic.
Until you mess with our kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mama bears come out, right?
But Dr. Gad said, I really recommend, it's on Amazon, the book Suicidal Empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And also Ali Beth Stuckey's book on
Toxic Empathy.
Yep. So what's happened is our people are out on the streets. Like there was a lady in a t-shirt that said, be kind. And she had a baseball bat and she was batting the head of Trump in front of children.
Oh, boy.
And how is that kind? I mean, they've been hijacked and it can lead to mental illness if you start. That's why he said suicidal empathy, because this empathy, whether it's, you know, teaching these things to our children or being so kind that you don't no longer have a North Star or a moral compass.
But, you know, I think most people, the problem they have is they don't understand what empathy is. I've been a hospice chaplain for 7 years, David was.
Mm.
I've been a police chaplain for over 30 years, and I teach critical incident stress management. Empathy is coming alongside a person and seeing the situation from their perspective. That doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It's just trying to see it from their perspective to help them get back on track. And we think empathy is you got to agree with them. No, It means trying to see it from where they are so you can explain the truth to them.
And how it shows up in our society is some guy who's in the victim group could kill another person, and then instead of going to jail, they get excuses made for them. That's what suicidal empathy is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And eventually it tears apart the structure of our civilization. And it's time for us to stop and use logic and understand we can be kind, but not fall for all these empathetic nudges.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Empathetic nudges. I like that. I'm going to use that.
What keeps coming back to me is the word of God. Yeah. Everything has to be judged against the word of God.
Amen.
Yes, are we to be kind and love our neighbors? I read this morning, but also we are supposed to call sin when it's sin.
That's right.
And bring, you know, light into the dark areas.
Yeah.
So if you don't know your word, mother, grandmother, anybody who's listening, that's the first place you need to start, because birth from the word is when you know what's right and what's wrong. And that's what you use as the scale is the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sin, you mean indiscretion, don't you?
Yeah, right. They're trying to water everything down.
Oh, boy.
Sin is what, oh, boy.
Well, we live in a fallen world, so if you've been here for a minute, chances are you've experienced trauma, you've experienced, you know, just really sad situations.
Yeah.
But there's an inner healing that needs to happen, and that truly needs to come from Christ. But like Ed said, you know, you have to understand that there's a root.
Mm-hmm.
There's a root to all sin behavior.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's
good.
Not the person. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not the flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
No. Absolutely not.
I also encourage people to read the scriptures and seek to ask the Holy Spirit to open up to them what a loving God really does. Because you read in the Old Testament, it's also in the New, God loves Israel. And yet when they sinned, he let them suffer the consequences of the sin. Because from God's viewpoint, his love also teaches. And you learn by the suffering, and you come back to go look at Israel. They got dispossessed several times from their own land.
Yeah,
their enemies came, ran them over, killed so many of them, took the rest of them away. God allowed it because they'd sinned, and the prophets that he sent.
Yep,
their teaching was repent because you're sinning. Turn back to the Lord.
Yeah,
the same message has been given to us today by modern day prophets.
Yep.
We need to repent.
We do.
Or we'll suffer the consequences of our sin. God won't stop loving us.
You're making a perfect point. Because I just preached on this yesterday, John 14.
Yeah.
Love God. If you really love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
We talk so much about love God, love God, I love God. Do you keep his commandments?
Yes.
And we overlook that. We just want to talk about the love of God.
Yes.
All warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, well, the left messed that up too.
That's not what the word says.
Nope.
Well, we're gonna the Lord is gonna use us to restore proper thinking about who he is by every day, right? And you're doing that with Moms for Liberty. It's a wonderful organization, tremendously anointed. Tremendously anointed.
We have to ask for people to pray for this organization because it is getting attacked.
Of course,
right,
yes.
Like there was a recent news story that came out on WPTV. Was it Crystal?
Yes.
Yes.
Because we're effective.
Yes.
We have one minute left.
We have to pray for that organization.
I'm
just saying for our listeners to do that.
I'm personally very encouraged by what you ladies
are doing. Amen.
Thank you.
I am personally. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I hope people will reach out to you through the website. And maybe some pastors will reach out and say, hey, come and talk to my people.
Be wonderful.
That will be a true work of God. Well, we're almost, we're at the point now where I have to say thank you. Thank you for coming and being a part of this program today. And we'll bring you back because there's more to talk about.
Amen.
At some point. But until then, we must thank you listeners for listening. I hope you've been touched. Some of you, I think your whole lives have been turned around in a good way today as you've been given a lot to think and pray about.
Amen.
But now I must say to you, thank you for listening. God bless you all, and we'll be back with you next week.
Yep. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.